L'shem yichukut shabruchu shchinta liachet shemut kevavker v'yichud shlom shem kol Yisrael. Hin in the loy mulchen v'loy mezumen. To begin to even to talk about kodesh hakodesh nachal naveh mekor chachma rabbeinu Nachum mibreslov zchus segelin deval kol Yisrael is something which I've been so afraid of over the years that I've been putting it off. For a number of reasons. One is that is the overwhelming fear. It's hard with all the tzaddikim for a simple person like myself to even attempt to enter into the tchum of into that world of these tzaddikim. That's by all the tzaddikim. When it comes to Rabbi Nachman, in my own personal journey over the years, and in a very, very personal and deep way, the effect that Rabbi Nachman's teachings have had upon me over the past 20 years or so is something which I am afraid that I can't possibly convey to all my friends. And because of that, I've been hesitating, and even though so many chevra have asked me over the years, so what are we going to do with Rabbi Nachman, which I live with so many hours of my life, and day and night, when are we going to do it in the shul? So it's been something which I've been putting off, but I had very strong words of encouragement from some tzaddikim that it's time to begin. And I'm trusting in Hashem's Baruch and trusting in their judgment that as long as we approach it with unbelievable humility and with a recognition that we're in the presence of a singularly great neshama, a different neshama, a neshama that was a chiddush even in his time. In that time of the great tzaddikim of the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, where the world was filled with such a powerful light of the Mamel Melech and the Balatanya and Kedushas Levi and the Abderav and the Chayz of those tzaddikim, then Rabbi Nachum was still a chiddush, the biggest chiddush in the universe, and the Sat Merav I've mentioned many times, that in Vayel Moshe Sat Merav Schusi Yelena said that of all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, there's a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim that the one who had the vision to see to the end of time is Rabbi Nachman, more than any of the Talmidei Baal Shem, who saw what we're going to need in our times, and what this generation before Mashiach is looking for, which is one of the reasons why there's such a powerful pull that's drawing people who otherwise don't have a shaychus, drawing them to Uman and to Rabbi Nachman's teachings and so on, which is why there are so many people who never studied Rabbi Nachman and make fun of these things and ridicule people who are Isaac and Rabbi Nachman because of the great powerful light of his teachings of his Torah. So this is not something which we could do for a few months, or to start for a couple of years at least, to just touch the edge, the tippy tip of Rabbi Nachman's coat. And for me, it's to be mitzamtzem and not to explode all over the room, and that my kishke should be on the walls and all over the people and make a mess. And it's a very, very difficult thing for me. and we have to have siyata dishmaya. That everything should be in with the proper tzimtzum. Rabbi Nachman's light is very, very great. When I started to learn Rabbi Nachman's Sfarm, I couldn't learn anything else, and it was a problem. I just couldn't learn. I just all day and all night. That's all I could do. I didn't want to learn anything else, and I had to go to Yerushalayim to talk to some of the big tzaddikim to see how do I deal with the situation. It's very hard. When you learn Lukutei Moran, then if you learn Lukutei Halachos, and you say a tefillah, Makutei Tefillos, it's very, very hard to do anything else. It just takes your entire neshama. It's very hard to do anything else. So it's really b'tchilu rechima with mixed feelings of awe, of fear, and love. That we begin to learn the sugya of the teachings of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. Today will be by way of hakdama, by way of introduction. Mem says it's all hakdamas. I mean, to be hakdamas, we have the fortune of having the most detailed biography of any tzaddik probably who ever lived from the earlier times. I don't mean of contemporary tzaddikim. We have the most detailed biography because we have from his great disciple Rabbi Nosson. We have from Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Nachman himself, who conveyed so many of the details of his earlier years for future generations, so that we could grow and we could learn from his struggles. And he was open and honest about his struggles. And we have detailed, almost a calendar of the major spiritual and the major physical, practical events of Rabbi Nachman's life, which we're going to have to talk about a great deal. In order to have any way of approaching his teachings, we're going to have to try, again, b'tchilu rechimu, to approach him behind many, many veils and veils and veils, but to approach that place where behind Rabbi Nachman will be behind the curtain, and to come to that place to understand, to talk about his life. There are some things that are available in English, and there are things that are out there, and when we talk about his life, we're going to be following the Seder of Rabbi Nosson, his closest disciple, who knew and who heard firsthand, as opposed to the popularized things that are out there these days that are always questionable. Rabbi Nosson was there, and Rabbi Nosson heard and saw. So we're going to be learning a lot from Rabbi Nosson's accounts of Rabbi Nachman's life. But by way of hakdama, by way of an introduction to everything else, which is also just introductions, until we actually are zeichet to meet Rabbi Nachman in person, it's only hakdamas. And he always called his teachings hakdamas, introductions. Rabbi Nachman said, it's brought down in Chayim Aran, that Rabbi Nachman said, Ani eini ma la'aseis b'zeh ha'olam klal. Rabbi Nachman said, Demis is, I don't really have anything to do in this world. It's not for me. Ani ein li ma la'aseis b'zeh ha'olam klal. Ki b'shvili eini tzorech la'aseis klal. Rabbi Nachman said, my soul does not need any further tikkun. I have no personal reason for coming into the world. Rak bosi la'olam l'kariv nafshis Yisrael. The only reason I've come here is to bring the souls of Jews close to Hashem. It's the only reason I've come to the world. But I myself, he said, don't need anything from this world. And he was here only a short time. I'm sure almost everybody here knows that he was 38 years old when he was nifted. He was a young man. He was described as being very skinny with long red peyes and very thin, scraggly beard. He was generally sickly and thin, and he died of tuberculosis in a horrible way, his short life, the way that it ended. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk by way of Hakdama. Now, you know that as Jews, we live always with the parasha Shavua, right? That's how we live. We have to live in the parasha, with the parasha. And everybody knows that the name of a person is the person. And that's something which we've learned a lot about over the years. That's the Etzem Ha'adam. In the Nusach of Rabbi Nachman says in Sichas Aran, Tzadik Hei, Da, and you should know, Shehashem Sheneistam Leila Adam, that the name that is given to a person, Hu Lefi Apu'ula Sheyesh Leila Adam La'asas Be'olam, that the name that is given to the person corresponds to what that person needs to accomplish in his life, to what that person can do in his life. That's the name that he has. Now, if we look at the end of Bereishis, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, so the Torah tells us the reason for the name Noach. And the Torah says, Vayikra Shmei Noach, and he was named Noach, Laimezei Yenachameinu Mima'aseinu, this one will bring us Zeinachamenu will bring us. Some translate it as rest. We'll see in a second that there are two ways. Menucha, the lashon of Zeinachamenu, of course, means nachama, consolement, to be consoled. Zeinachamenu, mimaaseinu mitzvayin yadeinu. This one will bring us nachama from our work, from the toil and the work, and from the toil of our hands, mitzvayin yadeinu. Which, of course, also infers a sadness and a depression that's in this world. That's what it says about Noach. So the Medrash asks a question. The Medrash asks, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Lo yahav Medrash hu Hashem, lo Hashem hu HaMedrash. Lahav etzarach kol ameima, ela Noach ze yanichenu. If you want to say that what, if you want to talk about menucha, or giving us a pause or a break, then say, Rabbi Yochanan says, then say, Zeh Yanichenu. Then call it, then say, his name is Noach because of what? Yanichenu. Oh, if you want to say that it's Nechama, that he's coming to give us what? Comfort and Chizik, then it should be Nachman, Zeh Yanachamenu. Then his name should not be Noach, his name should be Nachman. And it would be Zeh Yanachamenu. That would make sense. If it's Noach, then say Zeh Yanichenu. If it's Yanachamenu, Nechama that he's giving us, then say what? Then say his name is Nachman. Then give him a name Nachman. That's what it says in the Medrash. So what's the conclusion of the Medrash? So the Medrash says, the Teretz says, that Be'etzim, there are two names that Noach had. This might come as a surprise. And that's hinted at in the Eilat HaTolda Noach Noach. There are two names. One is Golui, one is the revealed name that we have, written in Chumash in black ink on white parchment, and that's the name Noach. And the Medrash says, and there's a shame which is Nistar. He has a hidden name. He's not called by it. We don't see it in the letters in the Torah. And the hidden name is Nachman, which is Nechama. Oymik, of course, is that on the outside it appears as someone who gave us a break, who helped the world pause and gave us some rest. We'll talk about that in a minute, what that means. Noach did that for the world. He did that for the world, in Gashmis and Aruchnis, physically and spiritually. On a deeper level, the Shem Nistar, the hidden name, which, by the way, according to the Zohar and the Mekubalim, all of us have a second hidden name, by the way, not just Noach. We'll talk about that a different time. The deeper hidden meaning of Noach, underneath it was Zeh Yanachamenu. And Zeh Yanachamenu means the hidden name is not Noach. The hidden second layer of Noach is Nachman. Zeh Yanachamenu. So what was it that Noach, what was the Nechama that Noach was coming to bring to that generation? And not just to his generation, but to the Asarah Doris, to the 10 generations that preceded him. And what was this Nechama? How was he supposed to bring this Nechama? So Rashi says over there, Zeh Yanachamenu. So Rashi says a very, very simple thing. It's from Chazal. Ad Shelo Bar Noach La'olam, before Noach came to the world, La'hayu lahem klei machreisha. They didn't have farming instruments like plowing instruments. And Noah, according to this, was the first and greatest inventor, or of the most practical things that people needed simply to make a parnasa. Until Noah, because of their lack of proper equipment, the earth was giving all kinds of thorns and thistles, and it was a big mess. In the aftermath of man's expulsion from Gan Eden, there was a big mess. They were trying to plant, and things weren't working out because they didn't have the right things. Because the earth was cursed. Because of the chait of Adam and Chava, the sin of Adam and Chava, the earth was cursed. And because of that klala, things were not working out on a practical level. Not that he was the only inventor. We know from Chumash he wasn't the only inventor, and from the Medrash, but he was the one who apparently initiated this great, industrial revolution, this prehistoric industrial revolution took place through Noach. And Rashi says that that's the meaning on the simplest level of Ubimein Noach Nocha, that for the first time in Noach's life, people were able to have some rest. So we're able to have some rest, to have some menucha. They were working like Mishagayim, and with all of the work, the earth was not producing because of the claw of the curse of Adam HaRishon. And as a result of Noach's intervention and his ingenuity, so he brought menucha. So that's the revealed Noach. That's Zeyanichanu. That's the menucha that he brought to the world because of his inventions. So we understand that Adam HaRishon lost Gan Eden, and he was removed from Gan Eden. As the generations went on, the Yerida, we're just learning the Chumash, we're learning these Psukim now, at the end of Bereishis and the beginning of Noach, that the world was descending deeper and deeper into low, terrible low things. And together with human beings who were descending, the earth itself was caught up in that horrible spiraling descent into the direction of what? Of tohu vavohu, back in the direction of emptiness, chaos and emptiness. And when Noach appeared in the world, he came into a world that was filled with bitterness, Yagain va'anocha. That's why we know that the Zohar, and we've learned this many times in the shul over the years, that Ela told us Noach, that the Zohar darshens the whole inyan of Noach on what day of the week? On Shabbos Naich, Leila Naich, Lesat, Noach, Yona Matzah Bo Manoach, Rishom Yanuchu Yigiei Koach. That Yona and Noach, and Noach sending the Yonah, and Shabbos, of course, are all related on a very deep level. Noach's name means Shabbos Menucha, Naichila Eila, Naichila Sata, Nachas above, Nachas below, rest and peace. So the point here is that the Menucha that Noach was to bring to the world only on a superficial level was as far as the work week was concerned, and the work day was concerned, and the inability of men to bring forth the blessings that were hidden in the world, beneath the surface of the world, as a result of the curse of those generations who were living in the shadow of Adam and Chava's fall. On a much deeper level, however, Noach is placed into the world in the context of that horrible bitterness and emptiness of the generations that had passed since Adam HaRishon. And Chazal tell us that there was a Messiris Bidei Adam HaRishon Ubanov, that Adam HaRishon had passed along to the future generations a Messiris. It's interesting to speak about a Messiris by Adam HaRishon, yeah? We have a Messiris that we got all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Adam HaRishon, if he had a Messiris, he got it straight from the source. He received it from where all these things go back to and where they come from. So he had a Messiris. Chazal tell us that in the future there's going to be born a Moshiach, that's the Lashon Chazal, a Redeemer, someone who's going to save the world from this horrible state of imenucha, of unrest, of turmoil, of depression and despair. And he's going to bring, as Chazal tell us, that Adam HaRishon told the children, yeah, there's going to be somebody who's going to bring a light, an aur into the world, a menucha to the world. And from the time that Noach was born, as Chazal tell us, and it's hinted at in Chumash, from the time that Noach was born, a mahapecha, a revolution began. And from the beginning of his adult life, Noach was deeply concerned, A, to bring physical blessing to the world, and he was a great source of physical blessing, as we just spoke about. He was a great source of physical blessing. There are people in this room who remember that there was such a time when we didn't have microwaves, yeah? And maybe even when it wasn't so pleasant to have a refrigerator, I don't know, and we look around, yeah, okay. Only Yankel admits that, but we have a few here that, you know, the ice box and those days, and other conveniences that are taken for granted, that it's hard to imagine. If someone said that there was a world before air conditioning, and what it was like, and how could people have survived, we know that these inventions have made life so unbelievably more convenient and enjoyable. We can't compare that to what it was like as far as what Noah accomplished in the world. On the most basic physical level, he brought tremendous bracha and gashmias to the world. And when the Torah says, and the Chazal tell us that Noah came into the world and found kaitzim v'dayadarim, he found emptiness and thorns and you know, a mess when he came to the world. So Chazal used the lashon, kalim hiskim lahem. He made kalim. In Gashmias, we understand, and we even have some of the names of the Kalim that he invented. But certainly, as the Svarim tell us, that the Kalim that Noach invented were not just in Gashmias. That didn't bring a light to the world, because everybody here knows, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, that now we have Gevaldige Kalim, better Kalim than Noach had, and there's still a darkness, right, in the world. With all of the new Kalim, there's still a darkness. So the Kalim that Noach made, he were not only for the tikkun of the world, to repair the world from the physical damage that took place as a result of the sin of Adam and Chava, and then again following the flood. That's not all. Noach's main concern, as Chazal tells us at length, was to fix the broken kalim of mankind. And we have detailed descriptions in Chazal who have a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, who received it from where it came from, that Noach spent all those many, many years of his life, he was trying to speak to the hearts of the generation and to give people encouragement and to bring them back, and that they should stop living that way and that they could live lives that would be filled with meaning and so on. And afal pichein, everybody here knows that the project of Noach, for all practical purposes, the project failed. And you can't get any more practical than the flood itself. That because he was allowed to salvage some of his own family, his own family. But as far as the world was concerned, Lemaisa Sof Kol Sof, Chazal have forever, I don't want to use the word condemned, I don't like when, you know, the Noach bashing that goes on in some places. But Chazal have said that Lemaisa, there was something missing in Noach. And with all of the unbelievable effort that he made, and remember, you can say anything you like about Noach and quote all the Svarim that you like and Musar and Chazals, Lamaisa Hashem says he's a tzaddik, and that's pretty good. It says in the Chumash, Noach is tzaddik. So he was a tzaddik, and he was a tzaddik, but he was a tzaddik that ultimately, and again we have to be careful, that ultimately did not accomplish what he could have accomplished, what he had the kaychas to accomplish. There was something which we'll talk about in a minute, only not my opinion, that's ridiculous, but what Chazal had revealed to us, what was missing. And Lemaisa, what happened was that even though he spent all those years talking and trying, his generation ended up really with all of the other, with all the past generations really included in that, being swept away from this world with the tumah, the filth and the yeyush and the despair of that time. And eventually Hashem had to dip the entire world into a mikveh and to start again, and that world was destroyed. Since that time of Noah, thousands of years have passed, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo made a promise that he's not going to do that again. He's not going to destroy the world again. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo promised us that he's going to give time for us to repair all of the damage, ourselves and the world. And we, of course, know, and we see it with our own eyes. One just has to learn a little bit of Rashi, a little bit of Medrash, to know that the kind of things that are taking place, especially in recent years, where there are people making chasnas between men and all kinds of repulsive things that we can't even talk about. Normal people can't even talk about. And different things that are all from that time of that tumah of and that the violence and the human beings blowing themselves up, sending their children, boys and girls and chulu. What we've seen over these years, is that over time, the world has fallen back into that way of ritzicha, murder and taivas, uncontrollable taivas. In milchamis and wars, with all of the new inventions, the most chashuv inventions are the inventions that each superpower can claim to be able to destroy the world how many more times than the other superpower, and all of this has led to the bitter reality that after the thousands of years after the Mabul, there's a bigger bilbul than in the time of the Mabul, that there's more confusion. There's more devastation, there's more yayush, there's more tohu vavohu. And at the same time that all of this is the reality that we see mamish with our own eyes, at the same time, there's an unprecedented longing and yearning. And we've spoken about this many times, especially in the Rav Kook Shiurim, but in all the learning that we've been doing, there is this chipus, there is this search for something that's me'ever, something that's real, something beyond, something that's holy. And even we see, even in the world bechlal, even by the goyim, that with all of the craziness, with all of the tumah, there is this searching for spirituality we spoke about many, many times. And there, within Klai Yisrael, Lahavdil, a longing for something, for kedusha, and to find a new way, and to find meaning in life. The problem is that because of this paradox that we're in, because of the craziness of these contradictions, of on the one hand a world that is lower than the generation of the Mabul in many ways, and worse than the generation of Mitzrayim, but on the other hand filled with all kinds of exalted concepts and ideas, and a generation that is seeking, that is filled with many, many people who in their own way are seeking the truth and are looking for something real and something higher and greater. What's missing, of course, is the Hischazkus, is somebody who will come to this world and to say, but in a way that everybody could hear, there's no yayish, not to be misyayish, not to give up hope. And no matter what you've done, and no matter how many mistakes you've made, it's not chalila that it was a waste, it's a tachlis, and that ra, in a minute you could mamish take all of this ugliness and filth and impurity, and in a minute you could turn it into something which is so holy and so unbelievable and pure, and to show the world and to explain to the world and to tell maisius and sipurim and to give aces and to give tfilis, that it's possible that from all of these horrible mistakes and from the marble of the world and from the shiganot, from the craziness and the insanity of the world and from all this horrible loneliness and bitterness, that it's possible to build it a kaimus Mashiach ben David mamish, to build the presence of Mashiach in the world and to have a geula and to make ourselves and to big ourselves, to build ourselves into big tzaddikim. So it's already quite a while, it's already more than 4,000 years ago, when the world was on the threshold of physical and spiritual Holocaust destruction, that man really created with his own hands. So Hashem Baruch sent a Mashiach and a Menachem. Chazal described Noach in that way. A Mashiach, a Redeemer, somebody to save, and someone to give what? Nechama, to console, to give chizik. And that's Noach. Zeh Yenachemenu. Chazal say, Zeh Yenachemenu is Nachman. Zeh Yenachemenu is Nachman. And now, after all of these years have passed, and after the Shoah, after the Holocaust, that our parents, and for some of your grandparents, that this Holocaust that brought such a churban to the world, and the spiritual churban that's been taking place at a very rapid pace, especially since that time of World War II. So we're in a matzav, this last generation, that could go either way. It could either sink into that place of no return, of a total Shoah, of a Shoya, of destruction, of desolation, physical or spiritual. So the Baruch Shalom sent a Menachem, in whose mouth the Baruch Shalom planted a Besaira, the good news of what? Of Nechama and an Eitzah for a Tikkun. And Zeh Yenachemenu, Chazal said, is Nachman. Zeh Yenachemenu is Nachman. What was the first Moshiach missing? And how is the second one different? Noach failed. Rabbi Nachman will not fail. Now that sounds like a very shocking thing, and if this tape is going to be heard in certain circles, if they ever had any doubts whether Weinberg is altogether off, this will be the final Makiva Patish. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not particularly concerned with those things. Rabbi Nachman won't fail. Why is that? How can you say such a thing? It's a very radical thing to say. Chazal have revealed to us that the chisaron in Noach, there's really one basic chisaron. It's not like what a lot of people say. Well, a lot of the rabbis in the anti-Noach drashas, this Shabbos is going to be filled the whole world with all kinds of talks about Noach. Hashem Yatzilana. It's always like he didn't care enough about the generation. He didn't care, and you know he was like lacking in these things. And fine, this sentence from Chazal, that sentence from Chazal. You look at a couple of things, they look on the internet, and then before they know what they have, the Shabbos morning we'll put together, and that's it. This is not what was missing, and I'm sorry for the cynicism because you know the thing with Noach is tzaddik. Chazal have taught us befeirish in a very clear way. You don't have to darshan at all. Says ki ois charisi tzaddik lefanai. Says befeirish nechumish. I see that you're a tzaddik, mamish a tzaddik. Says in the Zohar Kaddish, I'm reading to you the translation of the Sulam. It says in the Zohar Kaddish. The Baruch Shalom said one thing to Noach, and we're learning from the Zohar Kaddish, which is pnimius hatayrin, pnimius of what Chazal is saying. All the other Chazals that sound like it's something else, in order to understand those Chazals, you have to learn the Zohar Kaddish of pnimius. In the translation from the Aramaic, im hayisem espalo alayhem hayu nitzaylem. If you would have davened more, you gave your kishkas to the people, you spoke to them, you ran all kinds of programs and Shabbatons, and you had discovery, and you had all kinds of codes, gewaldig. Everything was terrific. You did terrific work. The Zohar says, "Ma'isim espalim, how you need silent." And it says over there that when Noah came out from the teva, when he came out from the boat, and he saw the churban, he came out from the boat and he saw what was going on over there in the world after the flood. He cried. He started to cry. And the Zohar Kaddish says, again, I'm reading in the translation, that Hashem Yisbach said to him, Rai Yishatir, means Rai Yishaita, you stupid, foolish shepherd. Now, a shepherd is always a term of endearment by Hashem, right? We know Moshe Rabbeinu was who? Rai Mehemna. There's no nicer thing the Baruch Hashem can say about a Jew than he's a shepherd, which means that you take care of my children. The Baruch Hashem loves shepherds. All the tzaddikim, David HaMelech, was a shepherd. Hashem Roy Leif. So the Baruch Shalom, when someone's a shepherd, it doesn't just mean that he watches animals, which is itself a nice thing. It means that he watches Hashem's children. So Noach was a person who cared about everybody. And he's called a Roya, Raya, a shepherd. But the Baruch Shalom says, Shaita. Shaita, fool. Hayloch alispalo alayim. You should have davened. You didn't daven. Whatever that means, his davening, on his level, what he could have davened. You should have davened. And that's why when you look in all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his disciples in the parasha of Noach, the most famous one that we spoke about many times when we learned about the Baal Shem Tov and then other times, because it's in all the Svarim, after of Kedushas Levi, all the Tzaddikim. And Rabbi Nachman, of course, is a whole Torah Tzaya. The Pasuk Tzohar Tasa L'Teva, in this week's parasha. So everybody knows that Tzohar, what does that mean exactly? An Evan Teva, does it mean a precious shining stone that would give light? Or is it a Chalon? A Chalon Rashi brings down? Or to a pit, is it the window and from there would come light? Everybody here heard the Baal Shem Tov's teaching. The Baal Shem Tov says that the word Teva doesn't only mean a boat. Teva means what? A word. Teva means a word in Hebrew. It's called a teva, like Rosh Tevas. A teva means a word. And Soya Tasa L'Teva, the Baal Shem Tov taught, meant that a Jew's words of davening, when you learn, when you daven, when you learn, that what? That every word should be matzira u'me'ira. It should be lichtig, shining, bright, every letter, that the Baruch Shalom is screaming at him. Of course it means to make, you need to have a source of light in the Teva. How are you going to see what you're doing? So there are two views of what that means. Say that. But Soya Tasla Teva and Pnimius, the Baruch Shalom is saying is, and I'm just giving you an example, Hashem is telling him in a thousand ways. Every time the Baruch Shalom told him about the Teva, he was telling him about not just a boat. Pshat, of course you have to make a boat. But he was telling him, Teva. Teva means what? It means words. It means Lichte Gewerte. Words that are shining. Words that are filled with light. And that's when the Baruch Shalom told him, Bo Ata V'chol Beischa La Teva. Come with you, I want you to come, you and your entire family, into the boat. Which the tzaddikim taught from the Baal Shem Tov means that a Jew has to take his wife, his kids, and everybody has to come into the words of davening. Into the words of davening means with screaming and begging and crying and talking to Hashem as a child would speak to a father, to a mother. Bo'al HaTeva. Bring your family into the words of davening. With all your koichas ha-nefesh, with all your koichas ha-guf, you have to come into the words of learning, the words of davening. Lichte Gewerte. So the first Moshiach, the first Menachem, the first one who was supposed to bring Menucha and Nechama, he did unbelievable things. Noach did unbelievable things, but in the end it was all washed away. And Chazal tell us it was washed away because of this one fault on his Madrega, not anything like we understand. But in his Madrega, Raya Shatya, foolish shepherd, davening, Lichte Gewerte, Tzaya Tasala Teva, bring the world into davening. Teach the world that they have a father that they could talk to. Teach the world that they have a friend, that the Baruch Shem is a friend. Not just a creator, a scary, distant, you know, Wizard of Oz. But that he's a friend, mamish. He's your father. And he loves you. And he wants you to talk to him about every tiny little thing in your life. And you're not alone. And not to be misyayish. So the Baruch Shem sent at the end of time a second Moshiach. And Zeyi Nachamenu, Chazal say, is Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman said about himself, my whole existence is davening. Whoever learned one paragraph in Likutei Moran knows that we're dealing with a genius who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, Kol HaTorah Kula, Bavli Yushalmi, Zoyer, everything inside out, as a child. But Rabbi Nachman said, if you want to know who I am, davening, tefillah. And the nechama that he came to tell the world was this nechama that I was just talking about. The ikken nechama that Rabbi Nachman brought to the world that we're going to see shining out from his Torahs, which cover everything in life. Everything in life. In this little sefer, everything in life. Not only that, I'm not exaggerating. We could spend all of our lives on one Torah. And Rabbi Nachman himself said, you have to live with the Torah. And that's why there's no other chassidus, or no other Torah in the world that sets it up in such a way where there's a Torah, and then there's Eitzes, of how to live that Torah, and live with it practically, right? And then Tefillahs. Have to daven to help you live your life according to that Torah. And Rabbi Nachman said you have to live with the Torah. And that's why the Chassidim in Breslov, Rabbi Nachman's Chassidim, Rabbi Nosson's disciples, that when they were learning a Torah, every single thing was that Torah. It wasn't that they learned the Torah in this Medrash and closed the Sefer and said it was Gevaldik. That's what we have only in Breslov are the Sfarim that are then written. For instance, last year, I got a Sefer, a new Sefer from Yerushalayim, around 500 pages on Purim. It says Purim. It's going through the whole Likutei Moran, taking all of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, and each one of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, Likutei Moran, shows you how do you live Purim through this Torah. There's no other Sefer like that on earth. No other Sefer like that on earth. He has his Talmud, the chair in the Rav. He has Talmidim that wrote a Sefer, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? Goes through every one of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs. And how does each one of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs teach us how to get back to Eretz Yisrael, how to conquer Eretz Yisrael, how to live in Eretz Yisrael? Every Torah. And Rabbi Nachman would allude to these things. Rabbi Nosson wrote a Shulchan Aruch. Look at the halachas. Halach from the beginning of Aruch Chaim to the end of Chesh Mishpat. Halachas. What? The halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Nachman's teachings. How to live, how to breathe, how to daven every single second of your life, to live with these Torahs. It covers everything. So the Nechama of Zayin HaChameinu, this is the Besaira. This is the news that Rabbi Nachman brought. And Rabbi Nachman said, it's not something that nobody ever said. It's something that was here from the beginning, but like the Baal Shem Tov said about his teachings, and it's, but it's just been, over the years, it's been forgotten. And that's what Rabbi Nachman told. What are the tzaddik? All the tzaddikim told Maisim. Sipurim Maisis Mimekedem? Stories of the world from its existence, and the stories of Rabbi Nachman, that are any one of his stories we could spend the rest of our lives darshaning 18, 19, 20 hours a day on any one of his stories for the rest of our lives. Even the short ones that are 3 pages long, 2 pages long. Achas Kama V'Kama, the Katzonim, the 7 burgers, it's there. From Bereshis till Mashiach. And that's why the 7th burger is missing. And all of the Torahs that are explanations of the stories, and the stories that explain the Torahs. And then the Tfilas, Lukutei Tfilas, hundreds of pages of crying and begging. Now they already made the Lukutei Moran, that you could buy a Lukutei Moran, where it has the Torah, and then it has right afterwards the Tfilah. You don't have to go looking, Lukutei Tfilas, to find that Torah. In other words, you learn a Torah in Lukutei Moran, and when the Torah is finished, then it brings you the Tfilah. I've had it daven up. And you have, and you look at Meitzis, and we're going to do this in Mitzvah Shem over the course of the year. We're going to do this over the course of the coming years. We'll try to work on this. This is the Zeyin Nachameinu, that Hashem is Baruch is listening every single second, and the Divine Shalom cares about you, and the Divine Shalom loves every word of Tefillah, and that's how he explains in the first Chelik of the Kudim Aran. If you look in Yud Dalet, in the first Chelik, Ois Yud Aleph, the Rebbe Nachman says, Toiv Hashem Lakol. It says, David Mel said, Hashem is good Lakol. And Rebbe Nachman says, what does it mean Lakol? It's the Bechinus Tfilah, Shemam and Hashem, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Toiv Lakol. That means, Tov Hashem Lakol means that Hashem is good for everything. Hashem is good for everything, Rebbe Nachman Torah means. He's good for everything. It means that just daven for everything, Hashem is good for everything. But you have to daven. Toiv Hashem. That Hashem you can count on for everything. Toiv Hashem lakol. Hashem is good for everything. Means davening, talking to him is for everything in life. So that person who, especially in modern times, where even, as you know, his greatest adversary was the Heilige Shpola Zaidi. And the Shpola Zaidi, I said many times, the Shul said to Rabbi Nachman, one of the Chassidim that came there, so Shpola Zaidi said to him, tell your Rabbi that I love him very, very deeply, but he came to the world 150 years too early. Which, of course, I mentioned many times, that the Rabbi Nachman sent back, that tell the Shpola Zaidi I also love him, but the reason I call him Zaidi is because he came 150 years too late. But Rabbi Nachman, 150 years, the Shpola Zaidi says such a thing, it came from the mouth of such a tzaddik, that Davka, Rabbi Nachman came, is coming now. At this time, even though he was here earlier, the Baruch Shalom planted that in the world, that in this time, when things began to mamish descend again into the marble of impurity in modern times, so he sent a neshama, an exalted soul, of Zeyin HaChameinu to come into this world and to tell even our generation it's not too late. In the breast of the shuls in Europe, in Varsha, wherever they were, nowadays it's Ein Yeish, Ein Shum Yeish Elam Klal. There's no Yeish, never to be Messiahish, never to give up hope. Rabbi Nachman's fire will burn mamish till Mashiach comes, which he said about himself, you don't need anything else, my fire will burn till Mashiach comes. And that even a person who's Chalila given himself over to terrible, disgusting things, and as Rabbi Nachman says over, and we're going to learn in many of his Torahs, even Shehashir Harbei did the worst of theirs that no one could even imagine, he still has hope, and he's able to start again. And that is the side of the Nechama. In addition to that, everybody here that knows Hebrew knows that Nechama also means regret. It also means nichamti ki asisim. It's also the end of Bereish. The end of Parshat Bereish. Nichamti ki asisim. The Baruch Shalom, Vayinachem Hashem, and nichamti ki asisim. The Baruch Shalom said, "Kidyoch, I regret that I made them. I regret." Rabbi Nachman taught us how to regret, but not in a destructive way. Nechama also means vayinachem, means to regret. And you know what's different about Rabbi Nachman? When Rabbi Nachman teaches you about regret, there are many, many sforim that talk about regretting. And the Musa sforim are filled with regret. And they're talking about how to feel charata, and what you did is horrible and terrible and disgusting. The problem is that they didn't open up for us a place of zayinachemenu, of teaching us a way to have hope with ourselves and not to give up, and to remember the Nekudas Taivas like he does in Azamra Resh Pei Beis, which we're going to spend a lot of time. Azamra, how to find the good inside yourself, to regret only that which is bad, but not that which is good, but there's so much good inside of you. So Ibn Nachman taught us how to regret the mistakes, but in a way that's holy and that's good, not in a way that takes you away, Chas Hashem, or causes you to become depressed and not to want to serve Hashem, but a charata, but a way of regret that comes together with a practical day-to-day method of tikkun. Tikkun HaKloli. As Rabbi Nachman revealed Tikkun HaKloli, when he did that, so what's Tikkun HaKloli? 12 Kippur Lechtelim, no? 10, I mean, 10 Kippur Lechtelim. So Rabbi Nachman gave us 10 Kippur. So what do you mean? The 10 Kippur Lechtelim are in Tehillim, the Tikkun HaKloli. So the 10 Kippur Lechtelim are there. So what did Rabbi Nachman, and then when he did that, all the tzaddikim was saying, oh, we never thought of that. What does that mean? We're going to learn about that. The order, the Seder. And what is the Nechama? And how does that teach you to regret and to repair? With simcha, with joy. That a person's tshuva should be filled with regret and immeasurable delight and sweetness and joy. That Rabbi Nachman came out of the Teva and he came into a world, and he's coming into our world now with his Zechurban, and he gives the world Mamer Zayinachameni M'maisi Yadeinim. It's from Yadeinu to give us a Nechama, is Chaskas, to be able to say that what we did is wrong and to admit our mistakes, and to give us Eitzes, practical, clear Eitzes. Of how we could change, of how we could become better. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman revealed that the yesod of all of this is building tevis. Building boats, of course, it means building words of tefillah. Building our davening up. His boidedus, to teach how to daven in a way of his boidedus. And that to be alone with Hashem, and how to get into the habit of speaking to Hashem, which we're going to talk a lot about. And in this world, which is like the worst in the marble, and with such confusion and craziness, Rabbi Nachman is calling to us, and he's saying, "Bayata, come you, and come with your whole family." Elateva, Rabbi Nachman is inviting us to come back into the words of davening, to come back into the words of Torah, to look at the same siddur that we always had, to look at the same chumash, the same mishnayos, the same gemara, but to see mamish that it's lichtig, and to come back into the tevas of davening and the tevas. And to the tables of learning, beleva b'moyach, with our hearts and with our minds, mamish, with all of our koiches. That's the invitation of Rabbi Nachman that we're going to, hopefully, at least after this time, that we're going to hear that loud and clear. And in doing so, Rabbi Nachman is giving each and every one of us an eitzah of how to be saved from the bilbul, the confusion of the marble that we're living in. Of how to be saved. And if you're wondering, why is it that people, 15,000 people, people are going... What is the Mahapecha? Rabbi Nachman's making the Mahapecha now. He's already left the world so long ago. It's such a Mahapecha. And his Torah is his teachings, and wherever you go, and what's going on. And with that, of course, comes the danger always of Shiras HaKelim and mistakes and misinterpretations and craziness that a lot of people from the outside have heard this and heard that. But where does this come from? Because Rabbi Nachman was sent to the world to save the world from the Bilbulim. And Rabbi Nachman, like the Rabbi Shalom who made him, Rabbi Nachman doesn't skip anybody. There's nobody, after we spend time learning his Torahs, there's nobody here that could say, no one will be able to say, he's talking about other people, not me. No one. If you say that, you're a liar and a fool. The only reason you would say that is because you're afraid of the consequences. No one could come out from Lekut HaMaran saying, it's somebody else, is not me. And that's why it's an unbelievable, awesome, scary thing. Because when you learn it, you feel it, And you hear it after a while that he's talking to you befrat. No one could say that this is talking about somebody big, somebody else, somebody that never did a veirus, someone that's gevaldik, someone that's a talmud chacham, someone that went to a better yeshiva than I went to, or had nice appearance than me. Rabbi Nachman is lakol. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Zohar HaKadosh is lakol. People just don't know that. The Zohar HaKadosh is lakol. Rabbi Shimon is lakol. Rabbi Nachman is lakol. And that's the Zayin Achameinu. So there was a ma'isa that somebody came to him and asked. Somebody came to Rabbi Nachman and said that what he wants, what he's looking for, is his karvus Hashem. He wants to get closer to Hashem Yisburg. And so Rabbi Nachman told him, so learn. You're not learning, so you should learn. Why don't you learn? I mean, that's an ma'isa that everybody would give you. You need to learn. So he said, I don't know how to learn. So right away he wanted to say, I'm not in this parish. In other words, don't I can't do that. So it says in the Sikhas, Rabbi Nachman answered, Ayidei Tfila Yechodin Lova Lakal Taiv, the Torah, Vavaida, Lakala Kadushas, Lakala Vaidas, Lakala Taivas, Shabakala Ilamas. You don't want to. Because through davening, Rabbi Nachman said, you can come to all taiv, learning Torah, avaida, all mitzvahs, all kedusha, lekola avaida, the kola taivah shebekola olamis, if you daven. And that's what Noach did not bring to the world, and that's Rabbi Nachman's inyan. He says, I'm davening. My whole inyan is davening. And that's why we have the whole Torah in Kuf Yud Beis, the Torah of Tzayer. It says in Parsha that the Baruch Shalom told Noach to make an opening to the Teva on the side, the Tzida Tosim. Rabbi Nachman teaches that Tzida, the side of the boat, is a lashon of Tzayid. Tzayid means hunting, catching, trapping. Like Tzayid Befiv, like it says by Esav, Ki Tzayid Befiv. And Rabbi Nachman taught that a Jew's davening, the tevas, the words of your davening, that Sida Tosim have the ability, more than anything else in the world, to pull you out of the darkness, of the Seda, of the Tzayid, of the trap of impurity. The davening, the Upesach HaTeva, but Sida Tosim. If someone will come to that Torah, we'll learn that Torah, how he types it. He explains unbelievable things, the different levels of the Teva and how it works. So, again, that's also in English, but there's available. Hamasavim Mikol Tzad. So even when a person feels that he's surrounded by darkness and he has no way out, Rabbi Nachman said, Upesach HaTeva, but Sida Tosim. There is a way out from any Tzara in this world. That's why the word Tzara, trouble, is the same oasis as the word sohar, which means what we're talking about. Soha tassel teva, a lichtige word. Is tzara is sohar. That there's a way out from every tzara of this world is with tefillah. Pesach teva, but see the thought, it's a way out. And there's no other way for a person to save himself from the marble if not for the teva of tefillah, the avoid of his bodilus, avoid of Hashem. So, Bez Hashem, what we're going to do next week, I photostatted for next week, what we're going to do, Mitzvah Hashem, is we're going to learn, before we tell, next week is the Hilula of the Eish Kodesh, Mitzvah Hashem, next Monday night, Young Israel see this. The following Monday night, we're going to, before we start to talk about his life, that we have from Rabbi Nosson, before we do that, we're going to learn a little bit, some Lekut Meran, on the inyan of telling stories of Tzaddikim. Because before we tell the story of the tzaddik, we should learn what Rabbi Nachman said about talking about tzaddikim. We'll learn a little of that. Now, it would be very, very kedai for every person who intends on coming, and even if you don't intend on coming, it would be very kedai for everybody to buy a Lekut Meran. The Lekut Meran is made in like a thousand different editions and types. Nowadays it's made also with nekudas, with dots, for those who prefer with the vowels. They're small, there's big with the tires after tefillahs, there's big without the tefillahs, there's soft, hard, whatever you like. So Yankel Silverstein has been kind enough to volunteer to try to help. At least this is a beautiful edition that came out the last couple of years. Beautiful, clear, large page, large print with the vowels that came out. I think it's 18?
18, 50 plus the freight. I don't know what it's going to be. Between
18 and 20. Okay, between something like that. It's a beautiful edition. You could buy a small look at the Maran for $5 too. Right, but it all depends what you want. It's certainly kedai to have one that's that you could see and that's clear. And they make this is also with dots, but a smaller size. But I'm not going to ask Yankel to start bringing in samples of 10 different kinds. But if you want to get that one, you could take a look. Yankel will show you, and to order it, and we'll be glad to get it. By the time Mitzvah Shem you come back, we could have ready a stack of Lukdamrans. If you have your own, then you should bring the Lukdamran with you. I really don't want to have to get into the photo study because Mitzvah Shem we're going to be doing it for a few years. And we'll try to always have two or three here that are extra for guests that are visiting. But otherwise, everybody who comes should try to bring a look at the Maran. Every Jewish house should have a look at the Maran. That's it. So Rez Hashem will pick up and get some in 2 weeks.